Good morning, church. Excited to be here with you. There's a very special type of excitement every time I have the opportunity and privilege to be up in this stage. I never take it for granted. And I'm just always humbled to be up here with my family here at Liberty Church. But I'm also not only excited, I am Red Bull excited. Literally had Red Bull this morning. So hopefully Pastor Tim doesn't fly through the ceiling here because of the Red Bull. But praise God for his church. Amen. Come on. Well, Pastor Tim is not here today. He is in Orlando, Florida for general counsel. Him, Tina, and the family. Just a good time for them to get away and spend some time and just relax. So they return back on Thursday. They all miss you very much. But before we move forward, I just want to take a moment during our service. As many of you have heard, yesterday in El Paso, Texas, there was a mass shooting that killed 22 people. Then within 13 hours later at 1 a.m. this morning, there was another shooting that killed 9 people and 16 were injured in Dayton, Ohio. How many of you know our world desperately needs a touch of Jesus Christ? So let's just take a moment, pause, and pray for God to move and heal the hearts that those have lost their family, but also for the peace of God to rule over this earth. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity and privilege you give to us to wake up this morning. God, right now we lift up these two areas. Lord, we pray for your peace. We pray for your comfort. We pray for your direction. God, more than ever, we need you in this country, in this world. And Lord, we submit all this to you, knowing that God, you are in control even when our human minds cannot comprehend it. But God, we believe and know that your plan is greater than any pain we feel. But God, we pray that you would bring peace to those families. Give them the help that they need, the support, God, your spirit to fill them with a peace that they can't even explain with words or anything else, but they just know that, God, you're in control. So, Lord, have your way. We ask this in your name. Amen. So today we continue through the book of Mark, starting in chapter 8, and we have a lot of scripture to cover. So I'm going to actually switch mics. I'm going to take the handheld mic. Perfect. Thank you. Woo, there we go. Awesome. Thank you for your patience. Don't want that mic was driving me crazy. But let's go to Mark chapter 8, starting at verse 1. We have 21 scriptures to cover today. So let's buckle our seatbelts and let's get right into God's word. Starting at verse 1. During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance. His disciples answered, but where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them? How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked, 7. They replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground, and when he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up the 7 basketful of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 were present. After he had sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmanutha. The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus. To test him, they asked him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and said, why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly, I tell you, no sign will be given to it. Then he left them, got back into the boat, and crossed to the other side. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for the one loaf that they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. They discussed this with one another and said, it is because we have no bread. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see?
and ears but failed to hear. And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many basketful of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? They answered, 7. He said to them, do you still not understand? Let's pray. Father, less of me, all of you. God, none of us. We desire you in all that we do. Open up our heart, mind, and soul to receive your word today. Challenge us, change us, set us on fire. God, we don't want ordinary anymore. We want all of you. And we will stop at nothing to be in your presence this morning. So God, have your way in and throughout this service. We ask this in your name. And everyone said, amen. So I want to preach to you a message this morning entitled Distractions. And if we know anything about distractions, they are everywhere. Some of the distractions people fall into, social media. Right now, somebody could be on their phone checking Facebook, seeing what's happening in the news. You could be on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, taking selfies, emails, text messages. Distractions are everywhere. There was one distraction that one of my pastor friends told me that happened to him. His wife was pregnant. She was very close to giving birth. So on one Sunday, he was covering for the senior pastor. And his wife, who was on the brink of giving birth, her water broke in the middle of service. And her response was, I do not want to distract my husband right now, so I'm going to stay still until it's time to go. I would think if your water broke, it is time to go to the hospital to give birth. So the senior pastor comes over because he notices a little change in the area where she is. And he goes to her, hey, what's happening? He says, my water broke. Well, it says, time to go. Her response is, if I move, it's going to distract my husband. Well, he goes, listen, I just ended the service. It's time for you to get to the hospital. But see, here's the other thing, too. Distractions are always not fun and games. There's some distractions that even right now, you are physically present in this room. But mentally, spiritually, emotionally, you're not. Because your mind is so distracted on what's happening outside right now in your own life. Or you're sitting here and you have the burdens of someone else in your life that's distracting you from focusing in on what God has in store for you. See, back in 11th grade, I had a really close friend. His name was Andrew. And Andrew was probably one of the funniest kids who I could count on. We used to call him Superman. Like, he reminded me so much of, man, this kid is short, but he is powerful. But one morning, him and his friends were getting ready. His friend got a new driver's license. So, you know, when you turn 16 and you get your driver's license, you become an adult now. You can drive everywhere. But what they didn't realize is one of their friends who was driving decided to smoke a blunt before they got into a car. And as he was driving them, this is when text messaging came out. It's 31 degrees in Waukee, New York, and as he's driving, he didn't realize that his pedal was going at 65-70. And then the phone went off, and he turns to look at his phone, going around a curve, hits black ice, the car spins, hits a tree, and they all fly out. Andrew's body was severed right in half. And his mother showed up in the scene, and all she remembered was the words of her son, because he wasn't killed instantly, which shocked me, was, Mommy, why can't I feel my legs? And that week at my high school was one of the toughest weeks in my life, because how can I focus in my shoes? How can I focus when I literally just lost one of my best friends? But I am simply reminded this morning of what my theology professor would always say to me, that when life happens, remember, God is still on the throne. Jesus will come back, and we have to live in light of his return. See, Jack Canfield says this, successful people maintain a positive focus in life no matter what is going on around them. They stay focused on their past successes rather than their past failures, and on the next action steps they need to take to get them closer to the fulfillment of the goal rather than all the other distractions that life presents to them. So we begin to see in this chapter, Mark is again repeating similar stories that we have already have encountered and gone through. Some examples are the feeding of the multitude in Mark 6. You see in the beginning of Mark 8. Mark 6, 45, the crossing of the sea. You see it again in Mark 8, 10. Mark 7, conflict with the Pharisees, which then you'll see in verses 11 through 13. And finally, a conversation about bread that happened twice in chapter 7 and verse 8. So I'm curious to know, and I ask myself as I'm going through this text, what is it that Jesus is trying to get his disciples to understand? What is it that Jesus wants us to understand in our life, and why did Mark choose to include it? Because if you're a writer in this room and you have a word count, you know every word counts when you're writing. So sometimes we write so much, then we have to cut everything out. So we continue on, starting with verse 1 through 10. We see the feeding of the 4,000. And we see that these people have been following Jesus for 3 days. They haven't eaten, and they haven't drank anything. And they don't ask Jesus for anything other than to just be in his presence. So then Jesus sees them, he shows them compassion. He says, they've been with me for 3 days. That if they begin to walk back without eating anything, they would pass out and they wouldn't make it, because some have come from long distances. And see, even in that very moment, as I go through, Pastor Tim talked about it this week, I just want to reemphasize it today, how important it is to show compassion to people who have been struggling or who are in desperate situations. We don't know their story, but we can never become people who judge other people off of no knowledge that we know of them. We don't know what people are struggling through, but what Jesus does in any situation, he shows compassion. He shows love. And I thank God that I serve a God who shows compassion to me first, even in my darkest state. He shows them compassion. You see, one of my close friends, Pastor Rob and Erica Canavan, they're pastors in Fall River, had an opportunity to go preach at their church a couple months ago. And we were going to lunch, and as we were going to lunch, we hit a stoplight, and there was a homeless man on the side. And Pastor Rob took out one of those duffel bags, handed it out to the window, and gave it to the homeless man, and simply said, Jesus loves you, we love you, and we're here for you. He didn't interview him, he didn't ask anything, he just gave this to him to represent Christ. And I wonder what if our world would be like if we began to show compassion first instead of trying to judge everybody, what they do. I don't know what they're going through. All I know is God loves them as much as he loves me, and how dare I rob someone else of the love of God for their lives? We gotta show compassion. See, no detail in your life goes unnoticed. God is not that busy to ignore your problems. He loves you just as much as he loves everybody else. God just doesn't ignore us. You see, the last couple weeks, the staff here at Liberty Church have been going through Financial Peace University, Dave Ramsey, and it's absolutely amazing. If you haven't done it, you need to get your budget in line. It's like you go to sleep, you eat, drink, and sleep. Budget everywhere. It's annoying because then you want to throw your budget out the window, but you know if you throw it out the window, you're going to be broke. So you can't do that. So you take that budget back and you have to do it. But when you take the class, they talk about when life happens. You're thinking, well, nothing's going to happen this week. I'm going to be all right. You feel comfortable. You have enough in your account. And all of a sudden, something happens, and you have to pay to get that fixed. So that happened to me. I knew with my car being 2.5-3 weeks over for inspection, I needed to get inspected because I don't want to go to jail. So I had to get 4 new tires. And tires, if you know anything, are not cheap. They're not. Which left me in my account $1.40. And I was like, God, I don't know what to do. I trust in you. I know you're going to work this out. I got to do this. So last Thursday, Josh and I, my intern, we went to Chick-fil-A because one of our students, Lexis, works at Chick-fil-A. She has a beautiful chef coat. And I'm telling you, every time I see students like Marissa Porter, Esther, Lexis, Madison, these students living and acting in the call of God upon their life, I, for that, have a glimpse into the future, what it's like to be a proud father, to see these students do what God's called them. And she was there. She's come out cute. I was like, okay, I feel like a dad. Let's take pictures. Click, 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 click. I hated it when my mom did that to me, but I get to do it now. But when no one knew, not even Josh knew, that I wasn't going to eat. I was like, God, I'm just here to do your duty. So there's a little 15-year-old boy walking around. And on his tray, is food. And he's giving out. And there was a part of me that was like, man, I could really use some food right now. I'm hungry. Like, how do you not go to Chick-fil-A and not eat? His last stop was at my table. And he had a biscuit, sausage biscuit, and hash browns. He goes, sir, do you want to try this? And inside of me, he did not know the impact that little boy just made in my life, because I was in need and God took care of me when I least expected it. Now, I share this with you not to say, oh, poor Pastor Tim, I don't want any of that. What I want you to understand is what Scripture tells us in Matthew 25. For when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you invited me in. And then we see Jesus say in Matthew 6, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? We serve the God of details. Every detail of your life matters to him. So when you are in a desperate situation that no one around you knows or you haven't even vocalized, thank God he understands those details and finds a way to slip right in and put it right where you need it, because we serve a God of the details. Can I get an amen in this place? So let's go to Mark 5. I'm awake. Let's wake up, ladies and gentlemen. I'm ready to go. Mark 5, demonic, the demon-possessed man. Jesus goes, does his business. The man is healed. Boom, right there. The man wants to go and hang out with Jesus. He says, no. Get out of here. Go tell everybody what I have done for you. That city where they were was Decapolis. And as I was going through and I was reading and I ended up taking out, and I read it, a lot of scholars pointing out that this is the city where the feeding of the 4,000 was. And a lot of people will say, well, Mark just copied the 5,000 and then lowered the number. No, you can see distinct differences of what separates the two to being two separate acts. So some have said that why there was such a large crowd following Jesus was because of that man's testimony of, this is what Jesus did for my life. And others were so curious and desperate to see how he can change my life. And that should encourage us today that there is power in your testimony. There is power that I was broken, I was lost, I was almost dead in a mistake. But God stepped into my life, turned me around, and saved me so I can do his work. How dare we hold back the testimony of God in our life? How dare we stay quiet that God changed me, he renewed me, he gave up his body, that cross, that he gave his life up for me, changed my life around. We cannot let the distractions of life stop us from proclaiming that God is good. Even when I don't understand, even when he's not on my favorite list, God, you are still God and you are still Lord over my life. We can't get distracted. So now the Pharisees come in. And this passage actually really annoys me. Because I'm like, how? You literally just saw feeding of 4,000 people. And then you want Jesus to give you a sign. I'm like, bro, open your eyes. Like, what's the matter with you? Like, I would love to see. I would really just want to go and slap them. Like, what's wrong with you? You just saw Jesus feed 4,000 people plus more. And you're like, give me a sign, because you're bold enough to test Jesus. Good luck with that, buddy. And Jesus says, no sign will be given to this generation. And you see, even when God moves, people still want to test to see if he does something bigger. He doesn't need to. Are you alive? Are you breathing? Do you have clothes on today? I hope so. Thank God. But yet we want to go, and these people that try, who don't believe in God, will try and test God to try to disprove him. At the end of the day, it all comes back to one. Jesus is still moving and will not be tested or tried. And even when I have my conversations with Pastor Mary about just life, it can either go this way or that way or all around, we were talking to each other like, why is it that we have to explain ourselves to people who try to challenge us and say, why are you doing this? Why are you going to church every week? Why are you taking your kid to youth group? At the end of the day, I don't have to explain myself. If I am a child of God, which I am, which we are, and this is what God's word calls me to do, why do I have to explain myself to someone who just doesn't care? I will not live. And what happens is we live in the trap of people's opinions and what they want for our life instead of what God has for us in our life. And I will no longer live hostage to what other people want me to do because I got to make their feelings nice. I'm not here to make anybody's feelings nice. I'm here to do what God calls me to do. And in that, I receive the joy. You receive the joy when we let the Lord be our strength. That's when everything changes, my friends. I am not living at the hostage of other people's situations or them trying to hold me hostage to what they want. For too many years, my friends, I've lived hostage to what everybody else wants me to do. But when you get free, why would you go back to being a hostage? So let's talk about the yeast of the Pharisees and Herod. So now we see how the Pharisees were acting. Cool. And you would think the disciples, who've been with Jesus a lot, would be ready and understandable. Nope. So they say, we see their mind, they cross over the Sea of Galilee. So they have forgotten to bring bread, except one loaf. So then they're like, we need bread. Well, Jesus says, don't you have one loaf? But see here, before we get into that, we see Mark use the language of yeast. Now, in the culinary world, we love that because it's what makes bread nice and fluffy. But in the Bible, yeast is not seen as nice and fluffy. It is seen as evil. And you see, just a small amount of yeast in a bread can make it so big. Now, let me go back to my younger days when I went to culinary school. Let me help you understand my experience with yeast. So every culinary arts major and every baking and pastry major has to take a class of the opposite major. So I was the group leader, and then we had to take baking and pastry for beginners. Yay. If you know me, I do not like baking. I do not like making cakes. I have no time and patience to measure out flour. I like flour like salt. A little bit here, a little bit here, season the taste. I don't have time for baking. So I had to take the class, and I was in charge of making bread every morning. I had to take the bread that I let rest it from the day before, had to roll it out, and then I had to make a new batch, put in the proofer, all that stuff. So I wasn't paying attention. It's 5 a.m., and no one's alive at 5 a.m. in the morning. It's just incomprehensible. So I got my music on. I'm like, okay, the recipe called for a little bit of yeast. And what I did was I put 4 times the amount of yeast in water, got it activated, threw it in the batch. So you know where this is going. So I wrote, I'm like, man, this bakery smells fine. This smells beautiful. Subway will never match this smell here. I put the rack in the proofer, and I forget about it. Every Tim Cruise move, I forget about everything. And I come back 5 hours later to noticing that the proofer door is being pushed open. And I open the door. And lo and behold, it is a blob of bread that has consumed the entire rack and is literally pushing out of the proofer. And my chef was a German chef. And if you know anything about German chefs, you do not make them angry. I got a verbal beating like I've never gotten before. And then the worst part was the bread leaked into the vent system it worked in, and it destroyed it. Let me just say, I have learned a lesson that I have never forgotten in my life, is do not underestimate the small things in your life. Because when left unnoticed, it causes more damage than you actually thought it would. And how important is it for us to focus in on the little things of life before they become huge? See, a lot of times, we're like, all right, yeah, it's small. God's going to do his thing. Yeah, cool, cool. Then it becomes bigger and bigger. And then we become desperate for God when it becomes so uncontrollable that not even we can do anything about it. But what if we were that desperate for God in the small phases of life instead of only just the big phases in life? How different would our life be? That we would be so desperate for God in those small things, that every small thing you do, every step that you take, every little thing that you do, all for the glory of God, how different our life would be. So we have to pay attention. See, the disciples responded after Jesus states, be careful. Their response, we have no bread. Jesus, aware of this discussion, once again, I would love to have been in this boat to hear his response. 8 questions. In my New York understanding, here's how the 8 questions went. What's the matter with you? Do you not pay attention? Do you not have any common sense? You saw me feed the 5,000. You saw me feed the 4,000. Yet you're complaining because you have one piece of bread. yet you did not see the basketfuls and basketfuls of bread that we had. And sometimes we can be in the presence of God and be so blind to it that we miss it because we're distracted. You see, even when, and we see Mark repeat, once again, when Jesus was taking a nap in the boat, the disciples were going crazy. And even when they're in the boat again with Jesus, they miss the whole point that the provider that they needed in their life was again with them in the boat. And they were concerned because they had one piece of bread. That's like me at home with my parents. Come on, well, we have no food. Well, you have this in front of me. Well, I don't want it. Then you know what my mother used to say? Don't eat, starve. And when you're ready to eat, come find me. We get so, sometimes I got to work on this in my life, that I get so ungrateful even though I've seen God move in my life over and over again. It's so easy to get distracted, but taking today's scripture and what Mark is trying to get into our hearts, how do we, in the midst of all distractions in life, because they can come, they don't ask for an appointment with you, they just come like that. How do we use God's word to put this into action in our life? And I want to encourage you this morning, stay focused. Stay focused. You have seen God move. Maybe you're in here today and you need a move of God in your life. He will move. Not on your timeline, but on his and when you absolutely need it. We got to stay focused. But Pastor Tim, my distractions are so big. How can I stay focused when my distractions seem like they're out of control? Well, let's do this. Point one, you got to focus your hunger. See, this, the people that were following Jesus, the large crowd, were following him for 3 days. And not once did they ask for food. Not once did they ask for anything to drink. All they wanted to do was to be in the presence of God. They were hungry to just be around him. Because if anything you know about rabbi culture and the Jewish culture, you would follow the rabbi behind him, because even the dust on you would fill you with the knowledge that this person has. If only I can hunger and be in his presence, my life would be changed. We got to focus our hunger. See, when you're hungry, my friends, you will do whatever it takes to get food in your belly. I do not like being around people, and that's one of me, who are hangry. Let me break down teenager term for you. Hungry and angry combined is hangry, okay? And teenagers, when they're hungry, they're annoying, and I don't want to be around them. But I'm just the same way. When I want to eat, I'm going to Buffalo Wild Wings. Praise God after church. That is where I live. But when you're, it's like that Snickers commercial. Some of us are a whole different person when we haven't eaten. My favorite's Godzilla. I'm Godzilla when I don't eat. But as soon as I have, as a Snickers commercial, as soon as you eat like a good piece of bread that's fresh, just imagine with me for a second. Let's just dream. Just dream. Let my culinary dreams come. Let's together. Imagine freshly roasted garlic bread. And you felt it right there. Come on, that. You just put butter on, and you can see it melt, and you're just like, get in my belly right there. Imagine that. And that's like someone holding that in front of you, and like, you can't have it. I would take that person out, get them out, and give me my bread right now. You would do whatever it takes to be hungry, to feed yourself. But what if we took that same focus that I will hunger for God? Nothing else. If I had that same tenacity that I would feed myself with his word, bathe myself in prayer and fasting and in his presence and hunger for only for him, let me tell you, my friends, nothing else in this world can fulfill that void for you other than Jesus Christ. See, John 6:35 says this, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Nothing can stop you from having that fulfillment but you, my friend. That's it. You stop. We stop ourselves because we don't think we can do it. Stop putting labels and boxes in front of you to get into the presence of God. Just walk right into it. Don't stop yourself from doing that. Well, Pastor Tim, I want my life to change. I want to get better. Immerse yourself in the presence of God and understand distractions will do whatever it can take. The devil will do whatever it can take to distract you from being in the presence of God. See, one of my other favorite things that I really started to like, I'm not in love with it yet. I like working out. I think it's very therapeutic, and I feel like strong when I get like 5 pounds on both arms. I'm like, okay, here we go. I can lift. But one thing that I did with my friend Julian was planks. Anyone know what a plank is? They're from the devil. That's what they are, okay? So I was in Planet Fitness, and he's like, all right, let's do a plank. I'm like, no. No, you're going to do a plank, my friend. I said, okay. She goes, you're going to do a three-minute plank. If you know anything about planks, if you're doing it for 3 minutes, this right here and your arms are going to shake like this. There's no way. So, okay, so I get on the floor. I'm not doing it here. No way. No way. No, 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 no. No, 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 don't. Melissa, stop it. Stop it. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. So you get on the ground and your foot, okay. So this is so you get on the ground and you focus your legs and you have to pull your arms. Okay, wow. So here's the thing. A lot of times when you're doing planks, you focus on the ground and then you can feel the weight of everything that is pulling down because you want to touch that floor. But my friend said to me, instead of focusing on what's below, focus on what's above and look at the light. And in that moment, hold on, my friends. In that moment was a Holy Ghost moment in Planet Fitness Shrewsbury that I get so focused on what's below me instead of focusing on what's above me. And what's above me is the light. And we know who represents the light. I was just like, I'm done right there. First, I completed the plank 3 minutes later. Come on, somebody. I couldn't walk for 3 days, but I made it through. But man, we focus so much time on what's here. And we get so distracted, and the distractions pull us to the ground when all we have to do is focus our hunger on what's above us. Not on things, on earthly things, but on heavenly things above. That when the devil tries to pour you down, you get that core tight, you get those arms tight and say, Lord, I will not let me be shaken. I have your power. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I can't stay quiet about God. I'm just saying. So you got to focus your hunger. I got to finish. You got to focus your hunger. Number two. You got to focus on humility. One of the most unattractive things is a prideful person. And if that offends you, I'm sorry. Pride can only get you so far. I understand you got to be confident. Why? Because we serve a God who believes in us. And that's all the confidence I need from him. But pridefulness is so unattractive. And the Pharisees are trying to act tough. You're rolling up on Jesus to tell him, oh, get out of here. How dare you talk to Jesus like that? I pray every day, Lord, stop me from ever being in your presence to try to question you. Because I don't want to be like a Pharisee. You see, a pastor shared with me one day, Tim, I'm like, yes, you're not as good as you think you are. Hi, okay, thank you. Appreciate that encouragement. But you're not as bad as you think you are. Amen. So never lose that humility. And a lot of people think they're these great superstars, but yet they're as shallow as an empty bottle. And if one thing I try to teach my students, don't ever be shallow. When you're in the presence of God, let him fill you to overflow and you be the reflection of Jesus Christ with skin on. Never lose that humility. But we know this verse. I'm going to be doing a series in youth group on this. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and will heal their land. We are his people. Maybe you're in here right now and you're not in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus was sent to give his life up for you. You are his focus. We are his focus. And you may not be in a relationship with him, but he loves you. He cares for you. He gave up his life for us to be in eternity in heaven with him. What drives me crazy is people who can think they can pound knowledge into people and think that's going to change them. It is the power and the presence of an almighty God and a Savior and the power of his Holy Spirit which changes lives and sets them free. Not knowledge. Knowledge helps. And I never, ever want to be that person that goes up to them to try to defeat them when there's no need for that. We're all on the same team. So we have to focus on humility. And finally, after we focus our hunger, after we focus on humility, we have to focus our hearts. Letting the devil take control of our heart is a very dangerous thing. Now, I know maybe you're in a desperate situation that you need God to move. I mean, there is a mountain bigger than you can ever think. But when your heart is in alignment with God's heart, nothing can stop God from that. I look at Tom Holt with a mountain bigger than he could ever imagine, but by the grace of God, he is standing here alive and well. I can think of many people that I see here. Esther has had mountain after mountain after mountain. Yet you will see her up here dancing like a crazy woman. Why? Because she has the fire of Jesus inside of her. This is not to put on a show, my friends. This is to lift the name of Jesus Christ higher than we could ever do. Because he's the reason why we're here. See, Jesus responds to the disciples, are your heart not hardened? Are your hearts hardened? See, a lot of times we're in church, we sing this song that we all know. We sing, I see you move, I've seen you move. You've moved the mountains. We lift up our hands. Yeah, I believe that you'll do it again. You made a way where there is no way. Yeah, I believe that you're doing. You're there, eye, tears, everything. But when life hits, do you actually believe what you're singing? I know. Well, Pastor Tim, you don't know my situation. You don't know my distraction that I'm facing. But last time I checked, Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. It doesn't say trust in your own understanding. It says, oh, Lord Jesus. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all, not some, not part, not a little bit, all your heart and lean not. Because a lot of times our understanding gets us in trouble. Because we try to out-understand God. I'm like, oh, no. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And I know that's hard. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to do a little bit different this morning. Bow your head, close your eyes with me. Distractions come when you least expect it. Distractions come when you think you're ready for it, and then you're not. And boom, it hits. A couple things we're going to do here this morning. Maybe you're in here and you're saying, Pastor Tim, I do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I desperately need him. I have so many distractions in my life, and I want to make this first move to make the Lord my Lord. If that's you, we would love to pray with you. Come see Pastor Rick, myself, Pastor Natalie, Bobby Powers, Jeff Watson, whoever, and let us walk with you through this and welcome you to the family of God. But here's what I want us to do. See, growth requires uncomfortability. Growth requires a move that even when distractions make its noise, right now, our ears are focused on him. And maybe you're in here right now and you have a distraction in your life, or you know someone that is going through something that needs a touch from heaven. This is what I want you to simply raise your hand and keep it up. Right now, don't wait for someone else to do it. Put it up nice and high, nice and high, nice and high. Now, with those that hands lifted, whether you did or not, let's stand across this room. Here's what we're going to do. All across this room, if you're physically able to, let's stand in the presence of God and make this holy ground right now. See, a lot of times we wait for the pastor or someone else to pray for us, thinking they have more access to heaven than we do. When last time I checked, Jesus died for all, not just the leaders. You have direct connection to heaven as much as we do. So if your hand was raised, and I will always come alongside Pastor because I believe in when he talks about the power of the altar. Why? Because it requires you to get out from where you are comfortable in to a place where you're not sure what might happen, but you know the presence of God is there. Yes, So as in just a second, they're gonna start singing. If that was you and you need to come up to this altar and find a place, I'll pray us out. But I need you this morning to challenge yourself, push aside the distractions, and right now begin to make your way to this altar, whether it's one, whether it's two, and I'll come up and pray in a second. But don't wait, come on, church, let's come up, let's find a place and pray. Let's worship, let's surround our brothers and sisters. Let them not feel alone. Let's do this. See, here's the deal. There is nothing I could say to change your situation. There's nothing I can say to make you come alive. God's word is already alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword that can pierce through the soul, the heart, and the mind. It is God's word that has the ability to make something in you come alive, the power of his spirit to change your direction, to get the distractions out of your life. Do not leave here today feeling defeated. Do not leave here feeling like all is lost. The battle has already been won for you. No longer walk in defeat, but trust in the God who has your life planned out for you. So when distractions come, you buckle down and you lock in and you trust that God's gonna work it out. So every person in this room that is standing here, let's lift up our hands as an act of surrender. So that's the first step we do. We lift up our hands to heaven saying, God, we are unworthy, but you love us enough to send your son to die for us, that we can lift our hands in freedom knowing that, God, you are in control. So, Father, this morning, no matter what distraction, no matter what is trying to pull away our focus from you, God, we lean into your presence. We focus our hunger, God. We make sure that we are humble in your presence and we keep our heart aligned with your heart. God, no matter what the distraction is, Lord, we pray that you begin to move in us like never before. God, your way, not my way, not our way. God, we're hungry and desperate for you. Set us on fire. We ask this in your name. Everyone said, amen.